Yes, I traveled to I traveled to Asia, actually specifically Thailand, the beginning of August, and I spent a week there partnering up with Ransom, working with some of the girls that they have at the ministry. But the highlight of my trip was traveling with the Macedonian ministry team to Indonesia, and we went to the Nias Island, which is 85% Christian. But the Christians are generational Christians. They believe that if your ancestors, your great, great, great to the fifth power, if he was a Christian, then that is what saves you as well. A lot of them actually never heard of the second birth or having a relationship with Jesus. And this took us on a little bit of a whirlwind experience, because we thought we were coming into a group of believers that were strong and stable, and we were going to be encouraging them in reaching out to their own people. In reality, Rosa and I spoke to about 30 ladies who were pastor ladies, and they had gone through 5 years of seminary, and they looked at us and laughed because we were younger than them, and we didn't have any college. And that was stretching. It was good. The sobering part of it is that they had so much knowledge and they had so many head facts of the Bible, but it was nothing. It wasn't a part of their heart. And it was really sobering to see. And the burden there is that they want to go out and they want to make church members. Actually, the church that we were working with had 24,000 members on their roll call. 24,000 people that one bishop was in charge of, and there's no way that he could reach each one of them. But they would go out into different tribes, and instead of evangelizing or taking the gospel to them, they would go with the presentation of, "You need to become a church member, and this is the greatest thing in the world, is to be a part of the church." So there was a lot of lies in their background, and there's just so much darkness. Two specific nights, we went to tribal villages, and we had like crusade-style services for them. And the one night, we prayed over a man who was going into surgery the next day. He had been to the witch doctor, and it was one of those things where the witch doctor inserted a needle into his body. Well, he was going for his fourth surgery to try to remove the needle that would continue to jump back and forth in different spots in his body. So he would go in for a CAT scan. They would say, "Okay, this is where the needle is located in your body. Come in for surgery tomorrow. We're going to remove it." Open him up to find that there was no needle there. Do another CAT scan to see that the needle jumped to a different part of his body. Incredible stuff that was happening, and not good stuff. And so we prayed over him, and I don't know, I've yet to hear if he was healed or not. But there was a lot of prayer for healing among the people there because of the darkness and the witchcraft that they were involved in. The one Monday morning, right before conferences, was when we found out that we were speaking to the pastor ladies there. And Rosa and I looked at each other like, oh no, we are in over our heads. Because we had specifically asked to teach to girls between the ages of 13 to 30. That was my comfort zone, because that's what I'm familiar with. And our pastor leader came to us and said, "Well, by the way, you're teaching pastors, and most of them are between 35 and 65. And it was a good experience. But my personal testimony is that God is good. He took us through some of their hard questions, things that they had studied in school, but didn't know the answers to, because they didn't have the ability to discern from right and wrong. They didn't have a relationship with God, so they didn't have the Spirit in their life to work with them. And so it was just a good week. It was a hard week, but it was one of the best weeks of my life. And I can come out saying that, you know, this is God is still at work. Even in a place where it is closed and where they believe that they are believers, God is still going to be at work there. Pray especially for the IGO students. There's a team that is currently, I believe they left a couple of days ago, but they're there in IGO. They're there in Indonesia, teaching to some of the pastors that we talked with back in August. And so they're specifically working with prostitution. There was one day where we went out to the beach and we talked with 7 out of the 15 hotel owners there that promote prostitution on the beach. And it's a form of tourism. They are considered to be very rich because it's a highly promoted area. And so the IGO students are going in right now, and they're continuing the work that we started because their pastors and their leaders are crying for help because they don't know how to teach their church members the value of the human soul. And especially women. Women are not known to be loved and appreciated. And that's why there's so many pastors that want to go, female pastors that want to go into the church, because once they have position in the church, then they will get paid well, but they will also have value. And so there's just a lot of compromising that they're trying to do to survive. So continue to pray for the leaders there. They see the need for truth, but they need help. And thankfully, they're crying out for help. But I believe that the Spirit will continue to work on their behalf.
This morning, I'm as well am extremely thankful we serve a God that's able. And I just want to share a little bit, don't have a lot to share, but about the adoption seminar last weekend. God was able, and God showed up in great ways. So many times when we do things outside of our comfort zone, and sometimes when we do things within our comfort zone, God does more for us possibly than the people that show up. And that's my testimony this morning about the weekend. Working through all the details, getting everything ready, you kind of show up and you're not sure that you have anything to give. And God comes in and just pours out. We were blessed with 30 plus families that showed up. We just had a great time, a rewarding time. We had a strong amount of youth that were there this time. And Saturday night, we were able to have a night open to those that wanted to come in. And that was an extreme blessing, just to have other people stand in support and rally around families that are adopting or have passion in adoption. I want to personally thank everyone from the congregation here that had part. Some of you were... All the worship leaders came from people within our congregation, and we're very grateful and thankful for being used of God in that way. Prayer support. We know there was prayer warriors out there for us during the weekend. And there was also financial support, and we're very thankful for that and grateful. There are just a couple prayer requests I wanted to bring to the congregation. One of them is, now that we've had the second seminar, we do feel a need for putting together a little bit more of a structure. And so we just ask that you would pray for my wife and I as we continue to seek God's will in that. There's also a cry to have a youth weekend, something God's been working in my life on, and we brought it up to some people, and I don't know that we can back out now. So just be in prayer for that. A weekend for youth that have been adopted, just a heart cry that I have for youth, and also something that God's been laying on our hearts. And also just ask that you will continue to pray for all the families that came. When God shows up and sets people free, Satan shows up too. And there were definitely signs of that. And this morning, I'm thankful that we serve a God that is way bigger than that. But I also sense the need that as other believers, that God has called us to pray, to be on our knees, and to stand up for them. And this morning, I don't see Jeff and Joanna here this morning, I don't think, but I would just ask that we would just lift them up this morning as they're journeying. These are hard times. When you pour your heart into a young child's life, and then the child must go back. It's a test that few of us understand possibly, but this morning, even if you don't understand, just pray that God will give them the strength and the courage to move forward in the calling that God is calling on their lives, and that God would just be real to Summer in a special way. As she has moved from the environment that they have created, that godly environment, and she moves back in with her mother, that these days that they've spent with her, they know they've done what God has asked them to do. So we can just pray for them, continue to pray for them as they go through this time as Summer moves back. I would appreciate that from our church family. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion, and what God did through you and the seeds you planted. Would have been nice to be a little mouse there when you spoke to those ladies. And for Marion, thanks for God using you and in your ministry as well. He mentioned Jeff and Joanna. They are a couple from our church who had a little girl for, I'm not sure how long. Do you know, Marion? Close to a year, and now it's going back to her mother, so it's a hard time. Let's remember them in prayer this morning as we stand together for worship. James and Carter will lead us in our worshiping songs as we bring praise to our Lord through song. So let's stand together remembering Jeff and Joanna as well. Well, like I mentioned this morning, Dewey and Stacy Yoder are with us from Virginia. They are part of the Calvary Church. And they are bugging on to Cambodia under DNI. So do it if you come forward. We'll have prayer together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Dewey. And thank you for what you've laid on his heart. I pray you bless the word and just pour your life into him this morning. That you stir things in our hearts that you want to do in our lives and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. All right, good morning. Sounds like you guys are halfway awake. First of all, I want to thank you guys for allowing us to come and to share what God is calling us to do in Cambodia, and also share a little bit about our past and how we got to where we are now. I look at the clock, and I have about 20 minutes before 11:30 comes, so I'm going to try to rush this as fast as I can. If I skip over some stuff, please come and ask questions later. The way I understand, there's going to be a fellowship meal after the service, so find us and ask us questions then. I want to start off with a short scripture reading from Psalm 67. Psalm 67, and there's 7 verses. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, Selah. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly. And guide the nations of the earth, Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God, may all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Verse 3 and 5 there are identical, and they're a couple of my favorite verses. It gives a picture of everyone, somebody from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, bowing down and worshiping God and praising God. And that's an exciting picture that I get whenever I read that passage. like I mentioned earlier, we're here to talk about Cambodia and our mission work that God is calling us to do in Cambodia. But I know a lot of times I have put maybe too much emphasis on mission work. And I want to remind us this morning that mission work or missions is not the ultimate goal of the church, or it should not be the ultimate goal of the church, but rather worship is or should be. Mission work should lead people to worship God, but that should not be our ultimate goal as Christians. And it's a good reminder for me to think about that. So many times I think I put a lot of emphasis on mission work, which can be a good thing, but whenever that takes away from worshiping God, then that's when we're on scary ground. John Piper has a quote that says, "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions. God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So it just kind of it confirms that worship is the ultimate goal because it abides forever. And missions, thankfully, will not abide forever. Like I said earlier, or Doug mentioned earlier, I am Dewey Yoder. My wife, Stacy, is here also this morning. And we have two little boys. They are 7 months old today, twin boys. And as you can tell, if you see Stacy come in and out a lot, she's very busy. She does a great job taking care of the boys, and I try to help out as much as I can. I grew up in southern Indiana. I'm a cousin to Kenny, and we're basically brothers. And Stacy grew up, she has some roots here in Pennsylvania, but she moved down to Virginia whenever she was 8 years old. So that's where she calls home. That's where we live now, in Singers Glen, Virginia. We go to Calvary Mennonite Fellowship there. A little bit about our history and how we got to where we are now. For myself, I'm sure you all are familiar with Global Tribes Outreach. I went with them in 2007 and on just a one-month trip. And through that vision trip, God completely changed my life. He showed me the need to spread the gospel in Southeast Asia. And through that trip, I felt God was calling me back for a longer term. Later on that year, I went back for 6 months for the Edge trip. And then since then, I've been back two or three other times just for short one-month trips or a two-week trip. And it was during those trips that I felt God placing, I knew it was Southeast Asia, but I didn't know exactly where. And finally, it felt like Cambodia was the country that God wanted me to focus on and was leading me to. Stacy, she's always wanted to be a missionary ever since she was a young girl. Through serving under D&I in Mexico for 7 months and also attending mission-oriented classes at EBI, God has kept that desire to serve others alive. And she's been a very wonderful support through this. She knew that whenever we started dating and whenever we got married that I was interested in Cambodia, so she knew that if she would marry me, she would most likely end up in Cambodia. Lord willing, and she has been a great support through that. She's excited, and yet it's a big step for us, and it's going to be a lot of different changes. So pray for us in that. We're going to be living in the capital city of Cambodia, which is Phnom Penh, and we are going to be going October the 14th of this year. So 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday, we'll be flying out. So the time is flying, and it's almost here. For a long time, there was a huge question mark there. Back in 2008 is whenever I felt that God was calling me to Cambodia. Back in 2010 is when we got married. So we were advised, which I totally agree with, wait for about a year after you get married before you start any kind of mission work. So 2011, we've been waiting for more team members to join our team, because as with D&I, one of their policies is to not send a single couple out to a country by themselves, which I totally agree with. I think it's important to have that structure and that that body around you whenever you go. So that we've been waiting for a number of years for that. So finally that big question mark got erased and a date finally got put there. So we're excited about that. A little bit about Cambodia. History of Cambodia. It's right beside Vietnam, so during the Vietnam War, there were some Vietnamese that crossed the border into Cambodia. Because of this, the Americans dropped some bombs in Cambodia and also set a lot of landmines, which some are still active today. So if you go out in that part of Cambodia, which I think it's in the northeastern part of Cambodia, they tell you to stay on the paths and on the roads and stuff because of the landmines there. Also, I'll mention a little bit about the Khmer Rouge. I'm sure some of you all have heard about them. From 1975 to 1978, they came in and overthrew the government, took control of the government, and killed between 1 and 2 million people. They didn't target necessarily Christians or Muslims or Buddhists or whatever. They targeted people that looked smart, people that had an education. Their idea was to revert the economy back to farming and basically make money by exporting rice and different other farming stuff. That only lasted about 3 years, but yet they killed a lot of the generation that, or a lot of the people that would help the economy grow. So their economy is very far behind because of that. The culture there, they're very friendly people, like any other Southeast Asia country. The older generation would be more traditional and be pretty strong Buddhist. The younger generation is more open to Western influence and also show more of an openness to the gospel. So we're excited about that. We're looking for ways that we can reach the younger generation, but not only the younger generation, the older generation, to pray for us, pray with us about different opportunities that we could minister to people, and that we could be led by the Spirit to share the gospel with whoever we come into contact with. The language they speak there is called Khmer. It's not a tonal language, thankfully, but it does have 33 consonants and 23 vowels and 12 independent vowels. So their alphabet is very large compared to the English language. It's a pretty hard language to learn from what I've heard. We are planning on focusing strictly on the language for the first year and a half that we're there. We feel that it's important to get a solid foundation in language learning in the language before we get too involved with mission work, because if we get so involved with ministry and put the language on the back burner, then it's going to be very hard to catch back up because of the amount of time that we'll be spending in ministry. So that's our goal for the first year and a half. A little bit about the religion there. The prominent religion is Buddhism. 84.8% of the population are Buddhist, and 3.2% of the population are Christians. The population is, I think in 2013 it was 15,579,000. So to give you a little bit of an idea, out of those 15,579,000, only 15,311,000 are Buddhist, so that leaves about 200,000 Christians. So I guess Cambodia is considered an unreached country, and the term unreached, as defined by JoshuaProject.net website, an unreached or least reached people is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group. So there are Christians there, they are evangelizing, but it's so hard to make a dent in such a huge percentage of people that are not Christians whenever they don't have the adequate resources and people to do that. So pray for the Christians that are there, that they'll be bold and share the gospel with their family, with their friends. It's a very lost country. A little bit more about Buddhism. They believe that humans are born good, which is obviously just just opposite of what we as Christians believe. They believe that humans are born good, but it's our desires that are bad. So they go to a Buddhist temple and meditate to try to clear their mind of all desires. They also believe in reincarnation. The ultimate goal in Buddhism is to obtain nirvana, which means a blissful nothingness, to cease to exist. That's their hope of after they die. We as Christians have a much better gift. We have a gift, the gift of eternal life that we can share to them, that we can give to them through Jesus Christ. And it's exciting. That part is exciting to me because a lot of Buddhists have never heard about Jesus. They don't know about Jesus. So we as Christians can go there, share the gospel with them, and give them that hope and share that hope with them, that ability that they can know that they can spend eternity with God in heaven. Cambodia is considered an open country. So they're open to Christianity. However, they do not allow you to proselytize. So we won't be able to go door-to-door passing out tracts, that type of stuff. We will be able to go into marketplaces and strike up conversations with people, ask them about Buddhism, what they believe, and then share the gospel through that. They are they're very hospitable. They're very friendly. They're very poor, especially out in the countryside. Some actually sell their young girls into prostitution as a way to make money. The human trafficking is very prevalent in Cambodia, and many young girls are kidnapped and trapped into this. And if you guys are interested in reading books, there's lots of books out there on this subject, specifically for Cambodia. It's terrible. It's very open. You take a 2-week trip there, you can see it. They're not really ashamed of it. So pray for us. That's a way that we can, or that's a possibility for us in ministry work there, getting something started with that, helping those girls out of that, giving them a job, a better way to make money and support their family back home. The location of Cambodia, just in case you're wondering, is just below Laos and to the west of Vietnam and to the east of Thailand. And then China kind of sits above that. The climate is considered a subtropical climate, so they have a rainy season and a dry season, and it gets very hot and humid, especially during the rainy season. The government is very corrupt. Last time I was there was in June of this year. I was there for 2 weeks. And I was talking to a young Christian guy, and a Cambodian Khmer guy, and he had went to college, done everything that he needed to become a lawyer or an attorney. And he was pretty much ready to go out and start practicing his degree. And the only thing that he had to do yet was pay the government between $5,000 and $10,000 U.S. dollars, basically a bribe. And he, as a Christian, felt it was wrong to do that, so therefore he couldn't practice. So pretty much, if you know the right people, pay them the right amount of money, you can pretty much do what you want to do. So pray for the government. It's a very, very corrupt government. They're easily persuaded with money. Like I mentioned earlier, we're going under DNI, Destinations International. Some information about DNI that you might know, but you might not know. They have missionaries spread out all over the world. New York City, Los Angeles, Spain, Morocco, Bangladesh, Mongolia, Mexico, Northern Africa, and now Cambodia. And the mission in Cambodia that is starting is something that has not been going. It's not established, or it hasn't been established. It's something that we took to DNI and asked if they would be willing to support us in this. And they accepted that, and it's been a process of actually getting team members together and going over. So the first couple just moved over in June, along with a single girl, and then also their nanny. They have two children, the couple does. Their nanny went over about the middle of August. So those, the couple and two children and the two single girls are there now. A little bit more information about DNI. When you join DNI as a long-term missionary, you commit for a 3-year term. After 2 years and 9 months of being on the field, you return home on furlough for 3 months. So the 2 years, 9 months on the field and 3-month furlough equals your 3-year term. And then sometime during that 3-year term, you decide if you're going to commit for another 3-year term or if you're going to return home. DNI is a faith-based mission, so we won't be getting paid by them. The financial support that we will receive is some from our church and the rest from people that decide to donate to us. A little bit about who else is on the team. John and Gloria Whitman is the couple that's there now. They have two children. Krista Roth is there now. She's committed for a 3-year term. Stephanie Martin from South Carolina, she's actually over there, just got over there to be John and Gloria's nanny and school teacher. And Alyssa Gingrich from Indiana, she's going over with us, with Stacy and I, to be our nanny. Kristen Rhoda Hostetler from South Carolina, and they have a little boy. And Hannah Zimmerman from Pennsylvania here, she's going over with them to be their nanny. And they'll be leaving December 23rd of this year. And then Rochelle Zook, she's committed to a 3-year term. She's from Pennsylvania here. And She is going over January 15th of this coming year. After everybody gets over there and settled down, there's going to be around 16 people counting the children there. So it's exciting to see that that big of a team is interested in going to Cambodia and spreading the gospel there. You might ask what we're going to be doing in Cambodia. Our primary goal is to plant churches or a church. But like I mentioned earlier, the first year and a half, we want to focus on learning the language. During that time, we'll build relationships with neighbors, friends. After that, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't want to say that we're going to go over and do this, whatever it might be, a children's ministry or whatever. We don't want to say we're going to go over and do that and then get over there and there be not really any need, big need for that, but we feel God leading us to something else. So we want to go there in that first year and a half, keep our eyes open, being led by the Spirit, and seeing what ways we can be most efficient in sharing the gospel and whatever that is. So pray for us in that area that we could be open to the Spirit's leading during that, especially during that first year, six months to a year and a half, somewhere in there, that we're exploring different possibilities for mission work. I've got a couple videos I want to show now. The first video we'll be showing is a presentation that I put together. It's got some pictures, some video clips of just this last trip I was over there. And then also after that, we're going to do a short prayer cast, just praying about Cambodia, for Cambodia. And after that, I'll get back up and make a few closing remarks. All right, thanks again for allowing us to come and to share with you guys. I failed to mention one thing earlier, a little bit about when we might be coming back. We don't really know for sure. We feel that the same call that's taking us to Cambodia should be the same call that brings us back home or takes us somewhere else to serve Him. So pray that we could be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that also. I have a few prayer requests for you. Pray for us that we'd be led by the Spirit. That's the biggest thing that we want to be open to, the Spirit and what He's calling us to do, because the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in other people's lives. He knows what's going on in our lives, and He can coordinate things way better than what any one of us could. Pray for us as we study the language for the first year and a half. It's a huge hurdle to overcome, so pray for us in that area. And also pray for us as we are packing up, deciding what to sell, what to keep, and what to put in storage. A lot of decisions that need to be made. There's a table out back that's got our prayer cards on it, and also a sign-up sheet to receive newsletters. We're going to try to send out a newsletter every 2 months. So if you're interested in receiving that, feel free to put your name and email address. And then there's a third column there for your phone number. Sometimes I go home and enter these email addresses in, and I send out an email, it comes back saying that the email address wasn't right. So if your handwriting is legible, don't worry about putting your phone number in. If you have questions about it, then put your phone number down so I can give you a call. If you guys would like to support us financially, send your support to the address on the prayer card and earmarked with our name. So thanks again for allowing us to come, and I'll turn the time back over to Doug.